Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and Nate Lashley joins us this week after, of course, his big victory at the Rocket Mortgage Classic over the weekend, his first PGA Tour win. And I got into this a little bit with him, but I feel like these stories are some of my favorite in golf. It is the story of a guy that perseveres, keeps grinding, goes through every single professional circuit you could think of. I was going through his bio. You know, he has a web.com victory. Now he has a PGA Tour win. He's got three wins on the PGA Tour Latino America. He won the Utah Open, the Waterloo Open Golf Classic, which doesn't even sound like a thing. It sounds like something on Happy Gilmore. The Colorado Open, the Wyoming Open. He won the Waterloo Open Golf Classic again and the Utah Open. I mean, you know, this is to me, and I said this on the podcast with Nate, this to me is what professional golf is. It's not the biggest names in the sport that turn 20 and jump on the PGA Tour and are promoted left and right and hopefully one day reach their potential. That is awesome, and that is what the PGA Tour, that's what sports needs. They need superstars to attach themselves to. But for me, the Nate Lashley story is golf because, you know, I played on the mini tours back in the day. I was not a mini tour player, I'll say that. I played, I donated, if you will. But I was out there with some of these guys that had been grinding for 10, 15, 20 years, and they still do it, and they still try, and they still hope, and they still do Monday qualifiers, and they believe in themselves more than a lot of people will ever believe in themselves, especially in this silly, goofy sport. I still have friends that are trying to grind and trying to make it on the PGA Tour and hopes and dreams of private jets and having sponsors on the sleeves. All of these things are what the end goal is, but really the end goal is finding a way to believe in yourself on the golf course, and that's what we saw over the weekend with Nate, and that's why I was so pumped to get a chance to chat with him just about how wild it's been. And you know, it is the guy that went to University of Arizona, and I had a chance to watch a little bit of what he did in college and then see him kind of try to go through the ranks and the circuits of the kind of the web.com and now the Korn Ferry Tour. I just love saying that. And now it's, you know, again, it's come full circle, anyone, and it's awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy the chat with Nate. This week's Clubhouse podcast, as all of the Clubhouse podcasts, are brought to you by Titleist and the TS Driver. I got fit for my TS Driver, I'd say now, probably about a year ago. And, you know, I love getting fit because the old days of getting fit were tape on the face and you hit clubs and balls and they tell you this one's probably best for you. And now it's all literally data, and they don't even look at the ball flight. They don't care how you actually, they don't care what it looks like in the air. They simply look at the numbers and fit you perfectly for the driver that best plays to what you do well or what you don't do great and want to improve. And the all-new Titleist TS2 and TS3, and now TS1 and TS4, which I just got a TS4 driver out of the Pebble Beach Titleist truck during the U.S. Open, and I was very excited about it. Their drivers and fairway metals were made to give you two options for more speed, now four options, and the Titleist Golf Club R&D team have found speed from every detail of the driver, and now they're ready for you to experience Titleist speed. I picked up something like 12 to 14 yards when I first hit the TS3, and my TS4 is going a little bit further because it doesn't spin as much, and that is a very, very nice thing for me because I'm a high-spin player. You can pick up yards. You can pick up ball speed, and don't just listen to me. Get fit yourself. You can find driver fitting locations now at Titleist.com. Check out the new drivers. They have been a hit across all professional platforms and in the amateur circuits as well. You'll be a big fan. Trust me, they're beautiful too. Being a beautiful looking club to me is number one importance to start. It's got to look great. You've got to set it down behind the ball and go, man, this thing is sexy. And that is what the TS now 4 that's in the bag is to me. Check them out. Go to Titleist.com. Get fit yourself. Had a fun week in South Bend, Indiana. Had a chance to cover the U.S. Senior Open. Of course, Steve Stricker ran away with it. It was the weekend of runaways. Every win was six shots or more. It was that kind of golf weekend as kind of we creep closer and closer toward the Open Championship. We have a couple of weeks off at Fox, which is nice. Couch time, Wimbledon time, World Cup time. That is very important to me as a chance to just relax and do no things and watch a whole bunch of sports and maybe dip my toe into golf, especially this week, is kind of the European Tour takes the front and center stage with kind of the schedule as we get set for the Open and beyond. So it should be a fun week in golf. I'm excited about it. Like I said, I'm just excited to spend time on the couch and watch Roger Federer and watch Serena Williams and watch what the unbelievable American World Cup team is doing right now as they get into the finals again. And Sunday morning, I will be glued to the TV. I have U.S. Amateur qualifying next week, 36 holes. I have somehow convinced Max Homa to carry the bag for at least one of the 36 holes. He's a busy man. He's got a lot of things going on. But he said he'd caddy for me for one of the 2 days because it's 18 holes each one day, and then the next day is the next 18 holes. So Max is going to loop for me. I'm probably going to try to get him to come on the podcast and just maybe dissect the golf game, maybe give the good and bad and ugly of what happened out on the golf course. So that one should be pretty entertaining, but that'll be next week. For now, let's get into the podcast and Nate Lashley. And we welcome into the clubhouse the Rocket Mortgage Classic champion, Nate Lashley. Nate, I got to say, first things first is, you know, Golf Channel and NBC always has the collegiate lettering next to the players' leaderboards. I feel like I always look up and there's two or three ASU pitchforks. I never see a U of A next to anybody's name. So thank you for finally allowing that to happen. I feel like it's been forever since somebody from the University of Arizona won. I can't even think of the last player to do it.
Well, I'd probably have to be Furyk.
I guess if you went back, yeah. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a little while. Yeah, it's great to be able to represent U of A and put the Wildcats up there on the leaderboard.
So I was talking to you a little bit before we got going. You win, and I mean, it's your first PGA Tour win. Obviously, you know, I mean, career highlight. I can only imagine what went down internally and emotionally Saturday night as you went in with the big lead, Sunday throughout the round, and we'll get into some of that. But the last couple of days, did you ever expect for kind of everything that comes with a win to happen, the media, the interest, the kind of people reaching out and trying to get a little piece, including, of course, myself? Did you expect a little bit of this? Was this more or less than you maybe thought would come with something like this?
Oh, yeah, it's way more. It's been a crazy couple of days. It's just been constantly on my phone, constantly getting back to people. You know, I flew to New York the day after the tournament, did the Tuesday, the Today Show yesterday morning, and then flew out here, did some more phone interviews, got a couple interviews this morning already, got to have the PGA Tour media this afternoon. So, yeah, it's been wild, but it's great. It's a great feeling. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I'm more than happy to try to accommodate anybody that wants to cover my story. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to get into the win first and foremost. And, you know, you're a guy that had a lot of success early in his career. And, you know, people at this point have kind of heard the backstory of collegiately, you were a great player. And, you bounced around so many tours and here and there. You played well at the U.S. Open. You opened with 67. It was a good week for you at Pebble Beach. At what point this season, was it recently or was it this week, or was it, you know, the U.S. Open? What point did you start to feel like, not just, hey, I belong out here, but, hey, I think I can compete and possibly win something against my peers? When did that kind of start to creep into your mind?
Well, I think, you know, right away at the beginning of the year, I started playing really well at the first event in Napa. I was in the top 10 going in the final round, and we had that crazy storm that, I mean, it was blowing 40 mile an hour, and I played really well. And I think I finished around 17th or something like that, and then followed up a couple weeks later playing, and then Sanderson Farms, played well there, and then played pretty well at RSM, and then into the new year played really well at in Palm Springs in the desert, and I think I finished 12th. So it was kind of a build up and getting more comfortable out here on the PGA Tour, which isn't an easy thing to do, but just kind of building up to this point of getting more and more confidence and getting more comfortable out here. And then this last week, I suppose, it just kind of all came together last week. Just nothing could go wrong. And when you get to 25 under, obviously, you're hitting it well and you're making putts. So it was just a dream come true.
Yeah, when you shoot 63 twice, it's probably going to be a pretty decent week. I was going to ask, I mean, you play so well to win and you kind of run away with it. Was there one thing that seemed to be working better recently for you? Or is it just simply knowing now you have the game and just being more comfortable between the ears?
Yeah, I think being more comfortable and getting a little better mentally on the golf course for sure has definitely helped. I mean, it's not easy to go out there and think well in your first year. You know, you're constantly thinking about, you know, that top 125 and you know, how many points you're going to get. And there's just a lot of things. But getting more comfortable. And then with my golf game, I feel like I've kind of improved on around everything. You know, I'm really striking my irons really well. I'm driving it a little straighter. Short games got better. And then I've just found something in my putting last week, and I was really putting really well, like hitting my lines, good speed, and hitting solid putts.
What was it you found? Was there something, I mean, was it just technique, or was it just some, was there like a coaching tip or something like that?
Yeah, it was a little, just a little technique. I felt like I was just moving a little bit on my putts, coming out of my putts. So it was really just staying still on my putts, making sure my head stayed still and nothing was really moving except for my shoulders. And it really paid off. I started putting really nicely.
Nate, I got to ask you, for people that pay attention to golf, you know, they look at the PGA Tour, maybe they watch the European Tour, maybe they watch the Corn Ferry Tour, the Senior Tour, the LPGA. Give me just a rough guesstimation yourself. How many mini tours do you think, different mini tours, do you think you played on over the years?
A rough estimate, I'd say I played in different events and at least five or six different mini tours, along with hundreds of other tournaments, you know, from state opens to pro-ams to, I mean, all over, you know, the United States, a lot in the Midwest, but, you know, a lot of Colorado Opens, Waterloo Opens, Nebraska Opens, you know, Gateway Tours, you know, Dakotas Tours. I mean, I was everywhere.
And you say you were everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, I think also something that's missed is the competition out there. I mean, it's crazy how low you have to go on mini tours to compete, not just to win, but to compete. And, you know, you're talking about going through these state opens and playing on, you know, the Dakotas Tour, playing Gateway, you know, kind of balancing around the country. I mean, this isn't a glamorous life, for goodness sakes. You're staying at, you know, a cheap motel or staying with a buddy, or maybe they put you up with a host family and you're hoping to make a check. And was there a point in your life where you were like, you know, I mean, I know you decided to do something else for a little bit. Was there a moment in your life where you're like, I'm not going to be a professional golfer for a living?
Yeah, there was definitely some times when playing really poorly that, you know, I felt like I was done. And, you know, it's not easy. Golf's not an easy sport, that's for sure. There's ups and downs. But I just stuck it out and kept grinding and trying to get better, and it paid off, obviously. But yeah, like you said, mini tour golf, you know, it's no joke. There's so many great players out there. I still remember one tournament. I was in Utah Open. It's a three-round tournament, and this was, I think, 2015. I was 20 or 21 under par with three holes to go, and I was a shot behind a guy. I had to birdie two out of my last three holes just to beat him by a shot. So in three rounds, 23 under par, and I mean, it's like you said, there's just so many great golfers out there, and, you know, for a lot of them, it just takes, you know, that one break to get out on the PGA Tour, and you never know what can happen from there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, the PGA Tour does a great job in so many areas, but sometimes, you know, they kind of forget about the Nate Lashleys of the world, and I say that because we focus so much on the super-duper-duper stars, and we promote them, and we push them out there. And your story, to me, would lend itself to hundreds, if not thousands, of guys out there that are either grinding or hoping to make it or still have that twinkle in their eye about maybe if this breaks my way, I've got a chance to get through. And I think we forget sometimes of these stories, you know, of a guy that has this event that he finishes 10th and the next week he finishes 5th and then he wins and all of a sudden he believes in himself. He takes that to the web, now the Corn Ferry, and maybe he plays well for a season there, and then, of course, boom, now he's on the PGA Tour, and a couple of years later, he's a PGA Tour winner. I just feel like these stories maybe don't get celebrated enough because it's really what pro golf is.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the PGA Tour. I think they've done a great job over the last, you know, I don't know, six, 7 years of getting these developmental tours. They brought in the Latin American tour,
Right.
the China tour, the Canadian tour, and that gives guys the opportunity to move up to that Korn Ferry tour without Q school having to go through Q school. Because Q school, I mean, I did it for years. I was could be playing great going into Q school. You make it through first stage, you shoot 174 in second stage, and all of a sudden you miss by a shot or two, and you're like, wow, I just had a great year, played great all year, and I just missed getting to final stage by a shot or two. And now you have to wait a whole another 12 months to go back to that Q school. So I think they've done a great job of getting these developmental tours, and that's how I was able to get to that Korn Ferry tour and then ultimately to the PGA Tour. So I would recommend any young player or anybody looking for somewhere to play to go out and play those tours. Go play that Latin American tour. It's a great tour. It's ran great. Same with the Canadian and same with the China tour. It's a way to move up.
Yeah, and I mean, for you, you had a chance in your life to learn how to win. I mean, you won on different tours. You won. You building your way up to this moment. When you go into Sunday with this big lead on at a PGA Tour event, and I mean, obviously, I Steve's we were doing the Senior Open, and Steve Stricker had a similar big lead, and he said after, going into Sunday, it's stressful because the only story you can really make is the collapse. So as you go into Sunday, what was your mentality heading into the final round, knowing if I don't win this, it's almost a bigger story than if I do win it? Because, people, of course, love to root for the hero and they love to root for kind of the collapse.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I was extremely nervous 'cause with that big of a lead, it's only happened. I don't know the exact statistics of it, but it's only happened very few times where somebody's come in with a 6-shot lead or more and ended up losing the tournament. So there was that added
I hope you
pressure.
didn't know that number before. I hope nobody told you that stat before Sunday.
I didn't know the stat.
Thank
Do you know the
goodness.
stat offhand?
No, I'm just saying I was
Okay.
hoping that's not something somebody came up to you and went, "Hey, by the way, this only happened twice where the guy's collapsed." You're like, "Thanks a lot,
Yeah.
man."
Well, yeah, that's I didn't watch any TV. I didn't look into anything before that final round. I didn't want to know,
No,
trust
I
me.
wouldn't
But
either.
yeah, it adds that pressure, but at the same time that lead is it also gives you a cushion where if you do make a couple bogeys, you probably or most likely still going to be in the lead, and nobody made a run at me the last day, which was lucky on my part. I figured somebody would at least get to 20 under or past 20 under par, and it just never happened.
Yeah, I mean that's the bonus of the big lead, like you said. It's like it allows you, even on a soft golf course, even on one the guys are kind of tearing apart, to kind of play simple golf early. I want to ask, Saturday night, what was your Saturday night, I guess, regimen as you headed into the final round personally, as you were getting ready? I know you said you didn't watch any TV, but what'd you do to just kind of feel normal?
I had a couple buddies in town, so we just went out to dinner. We had a couple beers, just talked. We tried to, I told him I don't want to talk about golf. I want to, anything else but to talk about, and let's just have a normal night, a normal dinner. And then I went back to the hotel and I fell asleep fairly easy, at first, and then I was awake at about 2:30 in the morning, and I was wide awake. And so I was up for a couple hours, and then I fell back asleep until 7:30 or so, and then I was up and at 'em and just tried to stay busy and take my mind off of golf. And when it was on, and I was just trying to think of the positives and get ready to go out and play.
I love that you said you had a couple of beers the night before. I feel like that's something that will be one of the things people go, "See, I like this Nate Lashley guy. I had a couple of beers after." Hopefully, you had a couple of beers on Sunday night too. For goodness sakes, that was the Rory quote after the
Oh,
Canadian Open. I
definitely.
love. He said, "I don't want." They said, "Do you want the U.S. Open to start tomorrow?" And he goes, "No, I'll probably be hungover tomorrow." That doesn't sound like fun at all.
Exactly.
And I wanted to get in a little to the U.S. Open. You played really well at Pebble in that opening round. Kind of got yourself a little bit into the mix. Was that pretty helpful going into the week for you, going into this past week, considering you're playing a major championship and you're battling with some of the biggest names in golf?
Yeah, definitely. Seeing you, I saw you there.
Well,
I think it was
that's
Friday
huge.
evening
Yeah,
before I teed off.
that's a
Yeah, I
you know
mean,
that
you
was
just
going
gave me boosted
to
confidence. Yeah, but shooting that first round 4 under and going a bogey-free round gave me a lot of confidence. That's a U.S. Open course. I played great that day. You know, I played pretty well the second round too, but I missed a lot of fairways just by a yard or two. And when you do that, it's tough to score. And I was basically chipping out four or five times that day and made some bogeys. But you know, playing well at the U.S. Open, yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence. It gave me the perspective that, you know, I can play with these guys, and that was at the highest level. So it did give me a lot of confidence, and it was great. Being at Pebble is unlike any place in that I've ever played. So all around, it was just an awesome week, and really enjoyed it.
Who was the most random person that has reached out to you, either called you or texted you, or also the coolest, I guess you could say, person that sent you a note that said congrats?
There's been a few. Scott Van Pelt sent me a
Nice.
Message on Twitter. That was cool. I messaged him back and said, "When are you going to get me on SportsCenter?" And I haven't heard anything back. So,
I'm going to text him after we get off this and say, "Nate Lashley, what the hell, SVP?"
yeah. Tell him to get on that,
I
man.
am. I'll yell at him.
But yeah, there's been a few, and then getting to meet Carson Daly yesterday. He's a cool dude. He loves his golf, so I'm hoping to, you know, get to play golf with him sometime. But you know, just some of those guys. You know, I've known Dan Whitney, who's Larry the Cable Guy. He sent me a great message, and he's I can call him a good friend now. He's just a great guy. But you know, everybody from you to all the media people they've been absolutely great to me, and I couldn't ask for more.
So I had Max Homa on, he kind of the week after he won the Wells Fargo. And one thing that I find very interesting for guys like you and Max, who, you know, were playing on the PGA Tour, but now all of a sudden everything changes, is your scheduling changes. Have you had a chance to sit down, kind of crunch the schedule now that you can kind of pick and choose where you're going to play and what events you're going to, maybe not play in some of the things you expected to play in, and you're going to add some that you weren't in initially?
Yeah, I was planning on playing this week, so I just came this week, and then I wasn't sure what I was gonna do for the John Deere. I'm gonna play John Deere and then take the flight over from John Deere to the British, and then go from British to the FedEx Cup St. Jude. So I'm gonna play four in a row, which is gonna be a lot, but I figure you're playing well, kind of ride it out, and then I'll take Wyndham off, and then go into the FedEx Cup playoffs, and hopefully, like I said, I've told other people my goal is to make that tour championship at East Lake now. So hopefully get to play all three of those, and then I think we have a couple of weeks off before the new season starts. And I haven't looked into the new season, but I'll just have to go from there. And you know, I plan on playing quite a bit in the fall, and just kind of ride this high out and enjoy it.
Nate, I have to ask you, going into this week, you know, you just won. You've got all this stuff going on. I mean, all these celebrities are reaching out to you. Now you're like the famous Nate Lashley. What do you expect as you have to tee up again on Thursday to start a whole nother PGA Tour event? I mean, how do you get yourself mentally back into the state of, all right, time to grind, time to play?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You know, I went out and played 9 holes yesterday, and it was just a really relaxing 9 holes. It was different than my normal practice rounds of you know, really focusing in on what I'm trying to do on each hole and hitting a lot of chips, hitting a lot of putts. It was more of a relaxed practice round. But that's the beauty of getting a win is now I can, you know, kind of take a step back and relax a little bit more and not be quite so hyper focused on every little aspect, which will maybe allow me to enjoy, you know, some of these tournaments a little more. Whereas before I was you know, it was pretty high pressure. I was hanging around that top 125 and really just needing to get back in there. But now being comfortably inside that and have some job security, I can relax a little bit.
Do you win on Sunday? You know, you make the final putt, you do the interviews, you go do media, you do all that stuff. When does it sink in? You're like, I'm gonna play in the Masters next year, because I feel like as a golfer, that has to, even no matter what you've done in your career, no matter how old you are, I feel like getting into that first Masters has to be kind of a pinch yourself type of moment.
Getting to play in the Masters, you know, that's going to be great. Getting the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, you know, I'm not into that yet, but I'll obviously, if I can get in that top 50, that's my goal, to play in that, getting to play the Players, the PGA, the British. You know, it's just the huge perks of getting a win is amazing. But I think it kind of hit me the next morning. I woke up and I was like, wow, you know, this is a big change. And that was one of the things that went through my head was getting to play in the Masters, because that's everybody's dream of just getting to play Augusta, let alone playing the Masters. It's a dream come true.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you. You said you're out on the road and you're gonna play 4 straight weeks. I got back to Phoenix on Monday and it's like 1:17. So I'm just gonna say, stay on the road. You don't. There's no rush back here. There's absolutely no reason. Ashton is gonna be here. I'm gonna be here. You don't need to hurry, for goodness sakes. It is brutal right now. I'm gonna actually go try to hit range balls today. And I'm gonna actually pull the bucket hat out. I haven't had the bucket hat out, and I don't
There
think
you go.
in about 10 months. So it's a little steamy here right now.
Yeah, that was one of the other reasons I was thinking about the schedule is, when you go back and it's really hot like that, you don't do a whole lot anyway, so I figured I might as well stay out on the road
Yes.
and get some more tournaments in.
Last question, and I ask this to everybody that's ever won on the PGA Tour, and you can be honest with us, so you don't have to. That's fine. How many times did you refresh your bank account app on your phone on Monday morning?
The wires, they don't get transferred till Wednesday. So this morning was
Okay.
that was one of the first things I checked. I wanted to make sure that PGA Tour's paying me and not trying to hold out. So the wire went through, so it was a relief. I didn't know if I was gonna have to go in and talk to somebody, but it's I'm all good. So
Yeah, good.
it's a different feeling seeing something like that, and it's pretty wonderful. It gives you some security and something I'll never forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a wild week. It was crazy. Like I said, it was a bummer for me. I mean, just in the sense of not being able to kind of get to watch you hole by hole and kind of root on Sunday. We were obviously covering the senior, but I had a couple of buddies, including one of our friends that was updating me on the lead of yours, and it's cool, man. It was cool to see at Pebble. I was pumped for you there, and it's wild. It's just wild when somebody that, like I said, has kind of been grinding for so long and has been not giving up, pull something like this off, and you just sit back and kind of enjoy all the fruits of it, because it's a very, very cool thing to see, and I'm pumped for you, Nate. It's awesome. Hey, you know what you should do? Win another one. Maybe win a few more. Win 10 more. It's kind of fun to win, isn't
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun, and that's what I'm going for. My goal is to
it?
be one of those guys that's competing each week. So, if I can, I feel like if I can continue to keep getting better like I am, I can be one of those guys.
Well, I appreciate the time, buddy. Have fun this week. Have fun. Hey, have fun in Ireland. That's going to be awesome. You can have Guinness as your two beers before the final round. That'll be
Right.
the added bonus. And have you played any of those? Have you ever played in Ireland?
No, I haven't. I've never been over to Europe, actually.
Really, first time. Do you have a passport?
Yeah, I have a passport. Yep.
Okay, that would have been the rush delivery, I guess, if you hadn't had that. That'll be exciting then, man. I mean, that has to be crazy too, right? Just the all of a sudden, hey, I'm in the Open Championship. Here we go. I mean, that has to be, of all the things that got to hit you in the face after the win, that's one of them. I'm assuming, considering where you grow up, you've played pretty well on the wind before. So hey, right? I mean, go over there and use the kind of the, I guess you could say, Nebraska in you to get it around the golf course.
That's right. Yeah, it is windy in Nebraska, so hey, I don't mind it. If it's bad weather, I'll embrace it. If it's great weather, hey, that's a positive. That's a bonus too. So I'm just happy I'm going over there and gonna enjoy it.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
A big thanks to Nate for jumping on. As you heard in the open, he's been very, very busy. People come at him from all directions when you win on the PGA Tour, and that's a good thing. That means that people care, and that's what you want. That's what you hope for, and that is what he's getting. A couple 63s on his way to that victory is pretty insane. I just want to say thanks again to Titleist, as always. Check out that driver. There's four options. You will find one you like. If it's the 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the TS series, they make them for you, and that is the key. Get fit, go to Titleist.com, find someone that'll fit you for the driver, go to the fitting, and just ask questions. Trust me, it is important to just simply talk to the fitter. Why is this better for me? What am I looking for? What does my golf swing do? They have all of that now, and it is so much easier now to find golf clubs that fit your golf game and your golf swing than ever before, and Titleist is at the forefront of that. So check out those new drivers, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. It's July 4th weekend, which means almost everybody is not working, and almost everybody is dusting off the golf clubs and playing a little bit. I think I'm teeing it up on Friday. I'm going to sneak out in the morning because it is hot in Phoenix. As I mentioned to Nate, it has been brutal on the return. You guys have a safe and happy July 4th. Have a great weekend. Root on that American team in the World Cup. We will be back next week with more Clubhouse.